Окей.
Сьогодні ми проводимо засідання спеціалізованої вченої ради ДФ-64-175-002.
Виключіть мікрофон во втором комп'ютері.
Сьогодні ми проводимо засідання спеціалізованої вченої ради ДФ-64-175-002 низьких температур імені Віркіна Національної академії наук України з правом прийняття до розгляду та проведення разового захисту дисертації Теплової Дар'ї Павлівни, застосування теорії випадкових матриць та багатовимірних часових рядів на здобуття ступеня доктора філософії в галузі знань 1.1 математика і статистика за спеціальністю 1.1.1 математика. Засідання буде проводитись з використанням засобів відеозапису в режимі реального часу, а саме програмного засобу Zoom. Такий формат засідання дозволено відповідною постановою Кабінету міністрів України. Спеціалізовану вчену раду утворена за клопотанням фізико-технічного інституту низьких температур імені Віркіна Національної академії наук України. Наказом Міністерства освіти і науки України від 21 жовтня 2020 року номер 1287 про утворення спеціалізованих вчених рад для присудження ступеня доктора філософії. На засіданні присутні Хруслов Євген Якович, Щербина Марія Володимирівна, Єгорова Ірина Євгенівна, Харунжий Олексій Михайлович, Фаворов Сергій Юрійович. Отже, засідання є правоможним. Усі дані про здобувача можуть бути знайдені на веб-сторінці інституту. До ради здобувач подав повний текст документів. Усі документи відповідають вимогам порядку проведення експерименту з присудження ступеня доктора філософії. Маю повідомити, що зі здобувачем погоджена мова доповіді. Дар'я Теплова буде викладати основні положення дисертації та відповідати на запитання англійською мовою. Now we switch to English and I kindly ask everyone to speak English. I invite the candidate Дар'я Теплова to present her talk.
Thank you. So now I will share a screen and basically start. So first of all, thank you very much for being here and for agreeing to hear my PhD work. Like this is better. I hope that everyone see everything. And so with this, I can start. So my work is concerned application of large random matrices to multivariate time series analysis. And basically what I will do today, it's I would like to present you two different models of random matrix, and both of them arised from one problem. So at the beginning, I would like to talk just a little bit about the motivation. And after I will present the first model, and was divided by two parts. So first, it's a simpler case where we have only sequence of uncorrelated Gaussian vectors, and I will talk a little bit of general methods and so on. And after, we will pass to the second part. It's when we add in some useful signal to this uncorrelated Gaussian sequence of vectors. And with the second model, we basically do the same. So first, it's the easier case only with noise, and after, we'll pass to the more demanding case where we have some useful information there. So without further ado, we'll start with motivation. And as was announced, this This is concerned to the application to multivariate series analysis. So we consider some sequence of vectors yn. The dimension of the sequence is m, and both of them are basically the sum of two parts. So first, it's the noise, and it's an uncorrelated sequence of Gaussian vectors with some covariance vector matrix R. And the second part, it's actually some useful information or useful signal, as we will call it. And what we assume about this information is that it can be represented by such a system. So here what we have, it's some white noise, omega, of dimension k. We have some Markovian sequence of dimensional p, and we have some matrices, determinant matrices, A, B, C, D of respective size. So basically the problem usually it's to find some information about this signal UN based only on some number of observations Y. And like ideally it would be nice to estimate such parameters as matrices A and C. But to do this, the first step would be to find actually its size. So the first problem would be to estimate the size of this matrix or of our Markovian sequence X, which is the parameter P. And since actually there can be a lot of such representations, we are going to focus only on so-called minimal state space representation, that is when our parameter P is minimal possible. So now the problem is defined. We want to find this parameter P of minimal state space representation. So to do this, usually in classical regime, that is when the dimensional of our observation M is much less than the available number of observations N, there are two methods which are pretty standard and widely used. So first of them is based on the fact that P coincides with the rank of so-called autocovariance matrix between such two long vectors. And here we have L vectors, L consecutive vectors of our observations that are written Y by one. So if we take L of them, it will represent the past. And after we take the next L consecutive vectors, and this will represent future. And so we are looking at the autocovariance matrix between those two vectors, and its rank, if we take L bigger than P, then it will coincide with P. And the second fact, which is also used, is that P also coincides with the number of non-zero canonical correlation coefficients between two spaces, which are again referred as past and future. And the past is generated by the components of these L vectors and the future of the next L vectors. And again, if we take L bigger than P, then P will coincide with this non-zero numbers of canonical correlation coefficients. But about second approach, we'll talk a little bit later, and now we are going to focus on the first one. So first, it would be nice to define this autocovariance matrix, and more precisely, it's defined in this way. So we are taking the expectations of such matrix, which is a product of these two vectors. And what we can say about this matrix, it has the size ML by ML, and again, its rank is supposed to be P. But obviously, exactly as in the case of more known sample covariance matrix, like we can't just find this expectation. So what we need to do is we are going to estimate it by the something that we can find, and which is based only on the our observations wise. And so is analogous to the sample covariance matrix. Here we have also empirical estimate, which we'll call R hat, and is defined as follows. And here we have two matrices YF and YP. And so YF, it will represent our future, YP will represent our past. This matrices has the similar structure. It's Henkel block matrices. And here, so it has size ML by N. And as you can see, it's basically, they have the same structure, but they're a little bit shifted by L. So what we need to notice about these matrices? So first of all, they're not independent because we have like the, just the same components here. Their entries are not IID because, like, again, we have Y2 here, here, and Y3 on these diagonals, and so on. Of course, like in low dimensional case, that is when M is much smaller than N, then our R hat is a good estimator for R. So, of course, its rank is not P anymore, but what we can see is that if we're looking at, on its singular values, then we will have a lot of singular values somewhere near zero, and we will have p singular values, the largest ones, which are definitely like far away from our bulk, from our zero. So the problem is, like, usually when we are in a regime where m is no longer much smaller than n, like the mathematical model would be that m and n both goes to infinity, and we assume that L is fixed, and the ratio is going to something that is not zero, to some constant that is not zero, then our estimation do not work because, like, R hat is not approaches to R anymore. And so there is like, we can't just say that there will be p largest eigen values that are far away from all other singular values. So in this case, in order to understand whether this method still can be used in order to estimate our p, our parameter p, we need to find, to study, like, to see what is going on when m and n goes to infinity, what's going on with the singular values of our matrix R hat. Or, which is a little bit more convenient, it's to look not at the singular values of this matrix, but at the eigenvalues of this Hermitian matrix. And what we want to have, what we would like to see, it's that if we take our signal, our vectors u, some reasonable condition, if we put on them, then we want to see these p eigenvalues outside of the bulk of this matrix, and this is exactly what we actually see in the known model of additive spiked model, where U is some low rank signal, low rank matrix, and V is matrix with ID entries. So in this case, we can see that, like, the signal of the U is strong enough, then there will be exactly p eigenvalues outside of the bulk. And this bulk, it's actually it's actually like the support that we will have when we don't have our U at all, then that is when we have only noise V. And so our goal here, it's to study the eigenvalues of matrix R hat star and to see what's happening with them. So the first would be, like, the first thing to do, it would be, of course, to understand whether there is bulk or not. And for this, we need to study this model, but in the case where our information is equal to zero, that is when we have only noise, so our observation, y, it's equals to Gaussian vector with covariance matrix R, and which is uncorrelated one from others. And from this model, what we want to study, it's the first, we want to study the eigenvalue distribution of this matrix. Then we want to characterize the support, so we want to see what's going on with support. After, it would be nice to prove that all eigenvalues in this case are indeed happens to be inside this support or just near this support. And after, it would be nice to study the behavior of the resolvent of this matrix, because it will greatly help us in the case where we add in signals. So when we are adding low rank perturbation, the characterizations of resolvent is really necessary in order to find how many of eigenvalues can be outside our found bulk. So first, let us briefly present the main protagonist here. It's the normalized countermeasure of our matrix R-Hector head star. And for each interval, as everyone knows, it's defined as the number of eigenvalues of this matrix, which happens to be inside this interval, and normalized by the whole number of eigenvalues, which is ML in our case. And as I already mentioned, the resolvent, it's not a secret that basically I'm going to use the resolvent method of studying this model. And for this, we are using the well-known Stieltjes transform of measure of this measure. And as we know, the Stieltjes transform of our measure nu hat will be exactly the normalized trace of resolvent of our matrix. So a little bit why it's any different from known cases. It's like if we take the standard case, it's a sample covariance matrix, then what we have, it's basically that each interval has a quadratic dependence on the entries of our observations y. But in our model, we have the multiple of four matrices, so we have basically the big quadratic dependence of the elements of our observations y. And of course, it will make the calculations more difficult. So to make it a little bit simpler, we are going to use the standard trick, which calls also linearization tricks. It's when instead of studying this matrix, we are going to look at such matrix which is already has size 2ml by 2ml. And on diagonal, we have just half of these matrices. So why we can do this is just because if you look at the resolvent of this new matrix M, then it can be represented in terms of resolvent of our old matrix Q. And basically, if we study this resolvent, then we can derive all necessary information that we want for this resolvent Q, which is a good thing. And in order to study this resolvent, we are going to use Gaussian tools. Since our observations are Gaussian vectors, we can do this. And basically, there is like two main pillars for this method. First, it's the integration by parts formula. It will allow us to find the equation for expectation of our resolvent. And second, it's the Poincaré-Nash inequality, which will allow us to bound all errors that we will meet along the way. So now we are ready to present the first result, which concerns the deterministic equivalent of our normalized countermeasure nu hat. So to do this, we need to write such an equation, which will have the unique solution in the class of Stieltjes transform on the measures carried by R plus. So by finding this Tn, we will construct another matrix of size M by M, which is the big Tn as a capital Tn. And this function, it's actually also a Stieltjes transform of some matrix valued measure. And the normalized trace of this matrix, which we will define by Sn, it will coincide with the Stieltjes transform of another probabilistic measure nu, which will be exactly the deterministic equivalent of our wanted measure nu hat. What it means? It means that the difference between them will go to zero weakly almost surely, while M&M goes to infinity. And also why we're interested in this matrix is just because in some sense our resolvent for n big enough, it will approach to the block diagonal matrix, which is constructed as identity matrix tensor product by Tn. And this is exactly the information that we need in order to pass to the case where we already have some information. So next step of our plan, it was about allocation of eigenvalues, and more precisely what we can say, it's indeed if we have any interval, it can be even infinite interval, such that it do not intersect with our support of measure nu, per news deterministic equivalent. So we take it support S, and if you take any interval outside of this support, then almost surely there will be null eigenvalues of our matrix inside this interval if n big enough. So this actually gives us information that if n big enough, then indeed all eigenvalues of our matrix Erhard star, when it constructed only from noise, all eigenvalues will be indeed near the support, near the limiting support. So about how this support will look, basically what we obtained is that if our Cn, if this ratio is less than one, then our support will be the union of some intervals, and the endpoints of these intervals it can be found as the local extreme of some function which depends of on our function Tn, and if it's greater than one, if Cn is greater than one, then it will be basically zero plus union of intervals. And the reason is that actually if Cn is less than one, then our deterministic equivalent measure, which is new, it will be absolutely continuous. And if it's greater than one, then it will be, then there will be some Dirac Dirac measure in zero plus absolutely continuous part. So, and now we are almost ready to the pass to the case where we add in some information. But the last thing what I want to say is actually we just to make it a little bit simpler, we assumed that our support is reduced to only one interval. And I would like to give you some proposition, which is actually a sufficient condition on so that the our limiting support would be indeed reduced to only one interval. Intuitively, what we can say is just if our eigenvalues of covariance matrix, where n is covariance matrix of our noise, so if its eigenvalues are close one to another, then our support will be indeed only one interval. And again, it will be one interval if Cn less than one, and if it's greater than one, then it will be zero plus one interval. But again, to make it a little bit simpler, we will assume from that point that our limiting support Sn is just interval zero and some x plus n. So I just say a few words about previous works. So here in these two works was studied a similar model, but it was taken model as Erhard plus Erhard star, and there was found the limit to eigenvalue distribution in the case where the noise is not necessarily Gaussian. And in these two works it was exactly our model, so there was also considered the matrix Erhard multiplied by Erhard star, but the regime that was considered, they took L equal to 1 and the covariance matrix reduced to the identity matrix. And of course in this case what we have, we actually can find Tn, so we actually can find this limit in eigenvalue distribution explicitly without any equations, and it greatly simplifies the following calculation, of course. So now we are ready to pass to the case where we add in some information, and well, spell alert, what we will have, it's well, we will not have what we wanted to have. To be more precise, our goal is to find all eigenvalues that can escape from the our limiting support Sn. So now we have bulk, it's Sn, it's one interval, and we are trying to find the eigenvalues that can be outside of this interval. So we are assuming that our information, our vector CN has actually a low rank. And what it means that we assume the dimensional k of this white noise is fixed, the dimensional p is also fixed, then the rank of this matrix will be bounded, and we will assume that it remained constant for n big enough, so it's not move. And here we have our long vector u and l, and I remind that to construct it, we just take l consecutive vectors u n and write it one from one after other. And now, in order to find this eigenvalues outside from our interval, what we are going to do, we are going to use the standard Finitron perturbation method. So what we are writing, what we want to find, it's just to find the solution of such an equation where this matrix is refers to autocoherence matrix, which is constructed from observations y, and y now it's the noise plus information, so it's v plus u. And we want to find the solution of these equations such that they are not the eigenvalues of our old model, that is when we construct our autocoherence matrix just from noise. And to do this, we rewrite this matrix as the old model, so that is the autocoherence matrix, which is constructed only from noise vectors, only from V, minus Z, and plus what is rest, that is will be the difference between this old and new models. And we take this outside of our determinant, and so we assume that we want to find Z such that this is not zero, but this is zero. Right, and exactly for this, we needed to study solidly our resolvent Q, which is related to the model, which is constructed only from noise. So what we would like to, what we expected, it's that the number of these eigenvalues outside our limiting support SN would be not greater than P, which is exactly the rank of such matrices. And here UF from L and UP from L, it is exactly as Y phi and Y P, but constructed from U instead of Y. But as I already said, in reality, we obtain that basically this number S of outliers of eigenvalues outside of our support, it can be anything between 0 and 2R. And R, it's reminded the rank of this coherence matrix, and it can be any from P to P plus KL. So basically, it can be much, much bigger than P, and we can't actually control how much bigger from P it can be. So what we obtained is that this model cannot be used in order to estimate our wanted parameter P. And like the possible reason is that if we take the difference between our model with information and our model without information, then the rank of this difference will be exactly 2R. And like during the calculation, it did not disappear anywhere, this rank 2R. And so in the end, we still have that the possible number of eight layers, it's 2R, it can be. And since, I will not get any, I will not get much technical details, this equation become pretty big, and while it's difficult to say something in the general case, we prove that if we take, for example, p equal 1, then there is indeed can be cases where the number of odd layers become 2R, where R is p plus KL, so or 2R minus p, and so on. So it actually can be much bigger than p. And even intuitively, if you take our signal pretty powerful, then it can be much bigger than p. So as I said, it's not good estimation, and this method cannot be used in order to estimate p. And just to show you, so if we take the simpler possible case, that is when almost everything equal to one, Then, well, it can be 1, but it also can be 2, while p is equal to 1. So it is indeed did not work. And that is exactly the reason why we need the second approach, because we hope that, well, okay, maybe the second approach will work. I will remind that, like, the factor which help us to use this approach is that p, it coincides with the non-zero canonical correlation coefficients between these two spaces. And here, y calligraphical p, it's the space which generated of these components. There are L of them. And the second space, yf, is generated by the components of the next L vectors. And so, in order to define this canonical correlation coefficients, we need to construct matrix H. And to do this, we are choosing the orthonormal basis in each space. And each element of this matrix, it will be the inner product between two elements of these spaces. And by definition, the canonical correlation coefficients between those two spaces is the singular values of such matrix H. Again, in practice, we can't find this matrix H so easily. So what we need to do is we need to somehow estimate it or find some approach to this matrix based only on the some number of available observations wise. And usually in a low dimensional case, it is again when M is much, much smaller than N, what is usually done is that this matrix H, it can be estimated by such matrix Sn. And here, so basically what we have is that the canonical correlation coefficients between other calligraphical spaces, they tend to the canonical correlation coefficients between row spaces of such matrices. And these matrices, it's exactly the matrices that you already saw. They're exactly the same, just to remind you. So we have block Hankel structures and so on. And what we can notice is basically that this matrix, it's like their row, their rows, it's exactly the orthonormal, the elements of orthonormal basis of row spaces of this matrix, and the same for the past. So Cn, it will be indeed the some estimation of the matrix H. But again, since we need the singular values of our matrix H or of its estimation of matrix Sn, but it's not very convenient, so we rather be looking for the eigenvalues of matrix Cc star. Well, it's not a surprise that if we take now M cost, if we take M and we'll send it to infinity as well as N, such way the ratio goes to something that is non-zero. But in this case, we also will assume that it's less than 1, because if it's better, if it's greater than 1, then there will be some problem with taking the invertible of such a matrix. So in this case, in this high dimensional regime, again, we have the same problem that Cn is cannot be used in order to estimate H, and so singular values will not approach the singular values of H. And in this case, again, what we are going to do is to see what's happening with the eigenvalues of such a matrix in such regime. But as you can see, this matrix, it doesn't look very nice actually, and it definitely does not look simpler than our first model. So to make it a little bit prettier, what we are going to do is, like, we take this part and we'll send it to the end. Of course, we can do it because the eigenvalues, the set of eigenvalues, is basically will be the same. The difference will be only in the zero values eigenvalues. And so this is a little bit better. Well, why? Because we have because like all this matrix, it's basically the product of two matrices, and which will denote by PP and PF. And these matrices, it's actually the orthoprojectors on the row spaces of matrix YP and YF. And again, we will have the same plan of studying this model. So first step would be to find the limit of normalizing countermeasure of such matrix in the case where we do not have any signal. So in the case where our observation is just uncorrelated Gaussian noise. And in this case, what we can say is just our autoprojectors, we assume that the rank of YF and YP are ML, because again, in other case, we will have some problems with the invertibility. And in this case, we can actually really easy find the normalized countermeasure of matrix PP and of matrix PF. Since they are autoprojectors, we can say that there will be exactly ML eigenvalues of value 1 and n minus ML of 0. We can notice, or we can observe that if only our matrices YP and YF were complex Gaussian with the ID elements and independent, it's important, then such matrices, they will be hard distributed and also independent for P and for F. And it is a well-known fact that in this case, the autoprojectors PP and PF, they would be asymptotically free almost surely. And it will imply that in the limit matrix, they measure mu hat, it will go to the limit of such a multiplicative convolution between two measures, between two sigmas. And since again, our measure sigma has such a simple form, it is pretty easy to find its multiplicative, free multiplicative convolution. And so in this case, it will be not even a problem. But as I said before, our matrices YP and YF, they are not actually independent, and their elements also not ID, so we still need to do some work. And in order to have any result, we are going to use the same method, so we are again going to use the Gaussian calculations. So I will present you the result right away. So it appears that indeed there exists a measure mu, which can be found explicitly. And the formula for this measure mu is pretty easy, as you can see. And moreover, this measure mu, it's exactly the free multiplicative convolutions of our sigmas. The point is that the difference between our wanted mu hat and mu goes to zero weakly almost surely. What we can say about this measure is like we can see right away the support of this measure. It's from 0 to for C, 1 minus C. And we can see that when 2ML is greater than N, then we will have a Dirac mass in the value 1, which is also not a surprise because in this case, the row spaces of YP and YF, they actually interlapping because we have one space of dimensional ML, some space of dimensional ML, and another of also dimensional ML. So basically, if 2ML is greater than N, then there will be some common part. And because of this common part, we will see the Dirac mass in 0, or in 1, sorry. What we can see here is actually, like, if you remember our noise, our vector SV, they have actually some covariance matrix. But here there is no trace of this covariance matrix. And this is actually not to wonder because it is well-known fact again that if we have some vector V, Gaussian vector V, of covariance with covariance matrix Rn, then it can be presented in such a form, where this vector Vn has already ID elements. And then if we construct our matrix YP and YF, then it will have this form. And after when we constructed our autoprojectors, then all these factors, they will just disappear, annihilate one another. And what we'll obtain is that autoprojector constructed out of Vn is exactly the same as the autoprojector constructed out of V is a ID element. And so basically we can assume without any loss of generality that our covariance matrix R is the identity matrix. The second point, what we are going to do to make it a little bit easier of a calculation, it's we are going again to use the linearization trick. So instead of matrix PPPF, we are going to study the matrix M of such form. And as I said already, that if you study the resolvent of this matrix, we can derive all necessary information about our resolvent. But here actually we'll have some problems. Because now matrix M is not Hermitian. So, as you can see, it will be not Hermitian since PP and PF are two different matrices. But this problem can be easily fixed if we just prove all necessary bounds for its resolvent, it will be pretty enough. And the second problem that we have is actually, since we are using Gaussian calculations, we are going to take some derivatives with respect to the elements of our matrices YP and YF. But the auto projectors, they are not quite differentiable everywhere. And more specifically, we have a problem when this matrix, which we want to invert, if it has some eigenvalues which are near to zero, then we will have some problems. To fix this problem, we need to study not again these matrices, but to consider more like a P multiplied by some regularization term eta. And since actually this matrix and this matrix, we can say about it that its eigenvalue distribution in the limit, it goes to the marching capacitor distribution. And normally, almost surely, all the eigenvalues of these two matrices, they're supposed to be in this interval. Almost surely. So we are going to have a regularization term which is equal to one almost surely, because almost surely all eigenvalues of these two matrices are inside this interval, but it will be zero if it's away from this bigger interval, and we want it to be smooth all the way down, so we can take derivatives and it will be smooth and there will be no problems. But the result says it's exactly that it appears that the expectation of our resolvent of matrix PPPF, if n big enough, it kind of approximates to the multiply of identity matrix, which was quite surprisingly, and it simplifies greatly all the calculations regarding to this case and regarding the case where we add in some useful information. So finally, we are ready to add this signal UN, and I will remind you that it admits such a representation where omega is a white the sequence of white noise of dimensional k, and this is of dimensional p, and so. So first of all, again, we want to make sure that we are adding the low rank perturbation. And for this, we need to assume that the dimensional of omega, so k is fixed, the dimension of x is p also fixed. Then again, the rank of this matrix, which we already saw, it's the covariance of such a long vector u and l. It will be r, and we also assume that it's constant. It will be some number between p and p plus chi l again. And I would like to give a little bit more details in this case because it was a successful case. We get exactly what we wanted to get. And to give you more details, I will need to introduce also some notation. So first, we consider the eigenvalue decomposition of our covariance matrix and the singular value decomposition of our matrix UP and UF. And again, here UP and UF, it's exactly as YP and YF, but where Y was replaced by U. So what we need to also to assume, since we want to pass to the limit, is we need to be sure that this matrix has some limit, this matrix has some limit, and by the way, it will be exactly of rank P. And also this matrix has some limit, and here, as you can see, we again have our covariance matrix since we add the information, we can't anymore assume that it's identity. So this matrix is also supposed to have limit. Then, as already said, that the number of eigenvalues which can escape from support, and support has looks like this, it will be not greater than p. And to prove this, we again we use the same method. So this eigenvalues who escape of this support, it's the solution of this equation, which are outside of support. And after some calculations and listen to the limit, what we are going to have is that the solutions, it's also this, it approaches to the solutions of this equation, which are also outside the support, of this support. And so here matrix F, it is of this of this form. And here we can see our my matrix omega, which is of rank p. So basically all matrix F is of rank not greater than p. By F we denoted the limit and stochastic transform of our deterministic equivalent, and F tilde it's also some stochastic transform. For more convenience, we write it like this. So now, if you want to find the number of these solutions, first what we need to note is that the norm of F is less than 1, and we want to study some behavior of our function here. And what we can say, we actually can say that on this interval, which is actually it's the interval which is interesting to us, since the solution of this, since the eigenvalues of this matrix, they are not greater than 1, and since we want it to be outside of this interval, that this interval is exactly what is interesting to us. So we are looking for the solution of equation 1 on this interval. And so on this interval, our function it's monotonically increasing, and if c is less than 1/2, then it will increase from this value, which is less than 1, to 1. And if it's greater than 1/2, then well, this function will have value which is also greater than 1. And basically, it means since the norm of f is less than 1, so all eigenvalues is less than 1, it means that if c is greater than 1/2, then there will be no solutions of this equation. And if c is less than 1/2, then the solution of this equation and the number of solutions of this equation, it will coincide with the number of eigenvalues phi, which is larger than this value, since our function is can take values only larger than this value. And as I already said, the rank of f it's great, it's less than p, and so basically the number of eigenvalues that can be larger than this is no greater than p. So what we obtained that summing it up a little bit, we obtained exactly then if s is less than 1/2, then there will be s largest eigenvalues that are escape of our interval. These eigenvalues will approach to the solution of the equation 1, and it will be less than p. And if c is greater than 1/2, then there will be no eigenvalues of our matrix outside of the limiting support. And I to show you some pictures in the end. We took a pretty simple case, it is when p equal to 2 and 2000 and so on. And like what we can see is that okay, there can be one eigenvalues outside of our spectrum, but we also have a situation where exactly 2. And like intuitively, just a little bit more, what I would like to say is that as we said, the number of our outliers, it depends on the kind of number of big eigenvalues of this matrix. And basically what we can say is that like the big eigenvalues of F, the more outliers we will have in the end. And the eigenvalues of F, it actually exactly depends on the eigenvalues of singular values of this matrix and so on. And the singular values of this matrix, it's basically there, basically related to the current correlation coefficients between our vectors u And in this, it's basically the eigenvalues of covariance matrix between these two lone factors U. So it's kind of, we can say that the bigger the canonical correlation coefficients between our space, which is dedicated to the information, and the bigger eigenvalues of covariance matrix of these vectors, then the more outliers we will have, and if all of this big enough, then we will have exactly p outliers. So basically, to sum up, we can say that this method can kind of can work in order to estimate the number, this parameter p. And finally, just a little bit of what can be done. It's, as I said, the estimation of p is only the first step. Ideally, it would be to estimate a and c. And for this, we need to study the eigenvectors that corresponds to these largest eigenvalues. And also, it can be interesting to see what happens when L goes to infinity, and maybe prove some utility for this model, and so on. So thank you for attention. I think I finished. Thank you.
Жень.
Дарья, thank you for good talk. Are there any questions for the candidate? No questions.
Excuse me, you mean from the jury?
Yeah, for everyone.
Okay. I have a few questions. So shall I go on?
Yeah. Go on, please. Of course.
Okay. So first question. Your work is done. You have developed your results for complex Gaussian random variables. In statistics, we would like to have real random variables. I mean, I know that in wireless communication, we love complex random variables, but in statistics, we would like to have real normal random variables. So what is the magnitude of difficulty to extend your work from complex Gaussian to real Gaussian, and then to standard random variables?
Well, I think that it will be kind of a little bit more difficult with the real variables, but doable, definitely doable, because it's just, well, actually why we consider complex variables, because it's more convenient, because all formulas are simpler, but I don't think that there will be a lot of problems for real Gaussian variables, and about non-Gaussian, I can be sure, like, the standard method what we can try, it's just to use some interpolation trick and to prove, like, and if you already have it for Gaussian, we will prove this for any distribution. But to be honest, I can't say right away whether it's easy or not to do this. Is this interpolation method? But we can try. Like, the only problem is that, of course, technical difficulties, because again, the degree of dependence, it's too big. But I think it can be done.
Okay. Thank you.
Question.
Huh? I have also some questions, but I don't know if I can have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I wanted to ask the same question as Jamal, but now I have the answer. But I wanted to ask you something. For instance, on page 23, if you can go back to mm-hmm. the page 23. Okay, so for instance, you have You have some results about the convergence, the weak convergence of mu n hat mu n minus mu n, and this holds almost surely. And I wanted to know if you have an idea to have something a little bit more precise. So imagine that you take a distance between two laws. So your Fahrenheit distance, so Wasserstein distance or Kolmogorov distance. And do you think that you can exhibit some sequence Vn tending to infinity in such a way that Vn times the distance between mu at n and mu n is converging to zero? So something a little bit more qualitative, you know?
Okay, because I didn't think about it, but well, actually here, yeah, I'm not sure that I can answer this question, because like here what we can just say that mu hat goes weakly almost surely to some measure mu, because obviously it has a limit. But to be honest, with distance, I'm not sure that I can say right away, sorry.
No, that's okay. It's just, you know, if you have an idea, I will be happy if you can give me the answer. Otherwise, you can
look. I need to think more, sorry.
And also, I wanted just to ask you something about your model. So you take the signal to be C times Xn plus D times Wn, and Xn is a Markovian process, but a very nice Markovian process because it is an autoregressive process. Do you think that you can have some flexibility there? I mean, taking a more general Markovian process? Or it is really important to be an autoregressive process? Or maybe it is a natural model, I don't know.
Well, if I understood it right, it's a natural model. but about a more general case, well, in the first model, I would say it is more, well, it should be much more difficult in general case. But in this model, well, here, if we take x and x something more difficult, then maybe it would be still doable. I think, because like in this way, like well, it can be, the result can be different, of course, because the rank of our perturbation will be a little bit different and so on. But I think it might be still be doable, because actually that when we use this, like we use only, well, okay, we do not rely so much on the view of our x. I would say it's just to understand the rank of all these matrices, we need it to be of such form. But if you want some other results, I think it will be still doable.
Okay, thanks, Daria.
More questions? If there are no more questions, we can start the discussion. First to speak is the opponent, Professor Alexei Harunji, Versailles, Saint-Quentin, and Yvelines University, please.
So, what I can say is that I have written everything in my report. It is very nice and very strong work. I have been impressed very much by the statements and by the results of this dissertation. And actually I was very happy to learn all these results. It's very nice. So actually I have no questions, I have formulated everything, so that's all I can say. It's very, I have been very positive for the results and for the work performed.
Он что, не будет зачитывать? Ага, Алексей.
Should I read my report?
Have you finished, Алексей?
А?
Have you finished your talk?
Yes, because, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we decided that it's not so necessary to read the report.
Maybe... Maybe that report to of Professor Khorunji.
To comment on Khorunji. The report, as he says it in...
I'd like just maybe ask some question, some more question, about in general question that's not related to the quality of the work. You use all the time the term empirical autocovariance matrix, say, and... So, in fact, in statistics, one should say that it is an estimator. It's something that it is random variable that converges to some limit. The limit is a number or matrix, yes. Why is it traditional, this empirical autocovariance matrix? What? Why not to use the estimate of the covariance, estimator? Maybe...
Yeah, I think it's just because of empirical covariance matrix, and it's widely used, and I should have
Am I right or not?
No, but there is a part of community using this term, there is another part that uses another term. There is no unique term.
I should have write it more precisely.
Okay.
Professor Khorunji, are you contented with the answer?
Yes.
Thank you very much. Next, we invite to speak the another opponent, Professor Sergei Fovorov, the Kharkov National University.
Okay. Daria Teplova investigates two ensembles of matrices. She investigates measure, normalized counting measure of eigenvalues of autocorrelation matrices, and she gets several results. For example, several very good results. For example, he investigates behavior of limiting CTS transforms of the measure nu. Before this, I want to say that she finds asymptotic equivalent measure, and she investigate behavior of this measure limiting CTS transform of this measure near real axis. Then they investigate asymptotic behavior of the density of this measure, support of the measure, and depends between this support and the eigenvalues of covariant measure. Finds a sufficient condition under which this support is reduced to one interval. Proved that for a large enough dimension, all these eigenvalues of measure of matrices of autocorrelation lie in the neighborhood of this set Sn. Then Daria considered another ensembles, another models, and when she investigate empirical matrices of covariance. Then in the case when random vectors, this matrix depends on random vectors, are independent with equally distributed elements, which may be not Gaussian, but have a uniformly limited second moment. This study uses another classical method, namely the method of perturbation of rank one. The main result of this part of the dissertation are follows. She proves that the normalized counting measure of the eigenvalence of this ensemble of covariance matrices weakly coincide almost certainly to some non-random measure. Equations and she found equation satisfied Siltier's transform of this limit measure is of this limit measure. Then I found maybe 12 very little misprints, some misprints, some words. For example, I want to, it's natural, I think, to, it should be explained why the Siltier transform is used instead of standard Fourier transform in this, standard Fourier transform well known. Then, for example, on page 50, the Daria wrote that for x more than zero, the equation phi of w, phi of w is equal x, is easily seemed to be a polynomial equation. Of course, this means that only this function phi of w is a polynomial, but it's natural to write such a way. But I don't want to say about all these misprints because in my report there are a list of these misprints, but nevertheless, all these remarks are not essential and do not affect my very high opinion of this dissertation, of this thesis. Then I want to say that the use of the Siltier transform requires the candidate to be able to use freely the methods of complex variables, and it would like to know that the professional level of her use of these methods. I want to say that this thesis has a theoretical character, written in modern mathematical language. All results of this thesis are new, and they were reported at many seminars and seven conferences, and main statements are strictly proofs that. Moreover, I want to say that from these dissertations, follow the data knows very well the results scientific research that near your investigation. But the results Daria obtained can be used in the mathematical physics and probability and mathematical statistics and sometimes outside the mathematics in various fields of science where research requires statistical analysis and multidimensional time series. And my conclusion, dissertation Teplova, application of large random matrices to multivariant time series analysis is a complete in the integral scientific work. There is the results obtained in by the authors have a significant scientific interest, and the thesis meets all the necessary requirement, and its author deserves the PhD degree. That's all.
Thank you very much. Daria, you have to answer on the remarks and comments of Professor Favoro.
About still recent Fourier transform, I think it's not first time when I hear this question. Basically it can be used also the Fourier transform, usually in this domain, the equation that obtained after using this Fourier transform, it's much harder to analyze. Traditionally, usually people use the Stieltjes transform because it's much nicer in the end. The results get much nicer in the end. And about other questions, yes, I agree. I agree with them. Thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Professor Vovoro, are you satisfied with the answer?
Yes, of course.
Okay. Okay. In addition to the answer on the comments and remarks of the opponents, the candidate has also responded on the remarks contained in reports of other peoples received by the Institute of Low Temperature Engineering. Since, however, there is no such reports, we invite other members of the jury to present their opinion concerning the thesis and its presentation. First, please, Professor Maria Shcherbina, the Institute of the Low Temperature Physics and Engineering, Kharkiv.
I would like to say that I was impressed by the thesis, and I was impressed also by Daria talk. It was very nice, interesting, and convincing. I will not stop on the detail of the dissertation, just do not repeat the results, but I would like to say that although Daria uses in some sense standard methods, this integration by part, linearization, and so on, but the model which are considered in the dissertation in thesis are so complicated, and the structure of this model are so complicated that in fact it was maybe not novel, but more advanced approach to this standard methods and technique which Daria used in her thesis is very impressive also. I swear that this is not so simple to analyze a model with so difficult structure and to obtain so many interesting results. I personally like very much the result about outlier of the spectrum. And I'm sure that Daria is okay, major specialist in the field, and of course she should be awarded with a PhD degree, and no doubt that the dissertation is very, very good. What I would like to say also that very important that in fact it is not the last stop in this direction, that there are very perspective direction of analysis, and Daria could continue the work in this direction with the same success, very big success. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next, we invite Professor Irina Egorova, the Institute for Low Temperature Physics and Engineering, Kharkiv.
In the discussion, we've heard already the opinions of the world-recognized experts in...
Ира, громче немножко.
In the discussion, we've heard already the opinion of the world recognized experts in the random matrix theory. I don't think I'm able to add any new comment concerning to the significance of the obtained result. I just say a few words about general impression of the thesis and Daria's presentation. The impression is definitely very positive. I've got acquainted with the Ukrainian version of the dissertation. As it turned out here, the English version is much wider. It contains a number of results concerning the studies in the presence of the useful signal. In the Ukrainian version, the multivariate time series is generated by the Gaussian noise. However, the research, even in the Ukrainian version for such time series, required the most modern and quite sophisticated approaches of the random matrix theory. And also it required very involved and somehow cumbersome computations, which were successfully accomplished. In particular, as an example, a significant complication appear here comparably with the classical models because the entries of the sample covariance matrices are biquadratic functions of the series vectors. Especially captivating, say, for me, is that the considered model comes directly from, or almost directly from, the signal processing theory, and the problem statement is not, say, oversimplified. The results are mathematically rigorous and new and relevant and very interesting. And at the same time, they have direct applications in applied sciences. This is a thesis of very high level without doubts, and the talk and presentation were simply excellent. I have no doubt that Daria deserves to be awarded the PhD degree.
Thank you very much. Next, we invite Professor Jamal Najim.
So, first of all, I would like to congratulate Daria for the very nice talk presentation and also for the manuscript, because even if the subject is very technical, the manuscript is easy to read. And I have also been impressed by the deep results and the numerous results that are present in this PhD. Although the techniques are standard, the model which is analyzed is very complicated. So it takes a lot of courage and computations to adapt the regular technique to this setup. So congratulations for this. I may have two comments. The first one is why did you decide to look at the singular values of matrix R instead of the eigenvalues? Of course, if you look at the eigenvalues, it's much more complicated because the matrix you're looking at is not Hermitian. So you need to handle non-Hermitian techniques, which are known to be much more difficult. The point is that from a statistical point of view, is it interesting to look at eigenvalues, even if it's more complicated? Or it is not interesting, and all the information you need is within the singular values. This is my first comment. And the second comment is related to one formula that you have in your manuscript, which is formula 3.120, which I don't know if you can see it. No, you can't see it because it's reversed. Maybe you can show it, formula 3.120.
One moment, I will find a 3 point.
It's on page 46.
Yes, 3 point
120. Sorry, 120.
Ah, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Page 46. Maybe you can share it with us.
Maybe. One moment. Do you see it? No?
Yes, density, it is the density of the deterministic equivalent near zero. Mm-hmm. And this, for me, it is interesting because you see that the density behaves as 1 over x to the power 2/3. Mm-hmm. And it means that basically the fluctuations of the single of the smallest eigenvalue will not behave as in the classical Marchenko-Pasture. The normalization will not be the same. It will not be a Bessel process, and it might be a new process. So this is my comment, and my question is: are the eigenvalue a determinantal point process? Because if the eigenvalues are a determinantal point process, then you have all the tools of the complex analysis to describe precisely the fluctuations of the smallest eigenvalue. Mm-hmm. So this is my second question, and I will stop here.
So to answer the first one, it was about the eigenvalues of matrix of the coherence matrix R. And so, as far as we know, you can find all necessary information from the singular values. So, in order to estimate B, A, and C, we need the singular values and singular values decompositions. So, I'm not sure whether we need the eigenvalues. Probably not, or maybe from some other problem which I'm not aware of. And about the second questions. I think that the eigenvalues I think that with this one it's not deterministic point of process, I think, but to be honest, I'm not sure. Sorry.
Oh, it's a good question, of course, but
it's
outside of the technique which Daria used.
I did not think about
special study.
Mm-hmm. Sure. It's
Evgeny Yakovlevich was microphone.
Evgeny Yakovlevich, не слышно.
Thank you very much,
Professor. Ира, ты монитор ситуацию.
Увлеклась. Thank you very much, Professor Najib. I'm sorry, I forgot to present you. Your the University of Paris Est Marne Laval. Voilà, Valère. Professor Najib. Next, we invite Professor Florence Merlovet.
Okay, thanks.
The
same university.
Paris Marie Laval.
Yeah, this is the same university, exactly. So as everyone, I would like to congratulate Daria for thesis, because it's a very high level thesis with many results, very deep results, and the presentation was very good. I really enjoy, and the thesis is really not so easy, even if it is well presented, because of the complexity of the model. So I think that this subject can lead to very, very nice research in the future. Mm-hmm. So I encourage Daria to continue in this way, because I think it's you can get some very, very interesting results in the future. So I already asked some questions, so I'm not going to ask more questions. And once again, I would like to say that I really enjoy the presentation.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next, we invite Professor Walid Hashem, University Paris Est Marne. La Vallée.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. As my colleagues, I'm impressed by the technicality and at the same time by the beauty of this thesis, the derivations are very involved, but if one takes the time to look on how they are done, there are a lot of gems in these derivations. There are a lot of links between other disciplines, other techniques. For instance, I was very pleased with the link with the free probability theory. This part was particularly beautiful, but it was not the only beautiful part of the thesis. I would also like to insist of the usefulness of the results Professor Favorov told about applications in maths and in physical maths, but there are also many useful and interesting applications in my discipline, in the discipline of our lab, which is signal processing and of course automatic control. Actually, this was the initial motivation of the problem that Daria solved. So I'm sure that there are a lot of very good, very useful and hard problems that Daria explained at the end of the thesis regarding the estimation of the matrices A, C, and so on. This is very useful in the theory of control and in other, and in time series analysis also. So it was a tour de force, as we say in French, and I congratulate you for this work. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there any else who wants to speak? Professor Pastor, maybe.
No, but it is you first.
No. He's in Zen.
Myself?
The president or just...
Yeah, okay. As one of two directors of the thesis, I first would like to say that I know Daria quite a long time already. She was certainly one of the best students of her generation. And she came to our group studying random matrices and around. Then I was a director of her magister diploma, and then now, as you see, the PhD thesis. What I would like to say is that she has been always and is very good in learning new things, both by results and by ideas and by technique. And she is very inventive and not last things, hardworking person. So she possesses all the merits for good researcher now and of course in the future. I will not comment too much on the content of the thesis because it was already discussed in a number of details. I just would like to say that results are, the problem is of course motivated by at least two domains, by telecommunications and by high dimensional statistics. Results are apparently serious and interesting, and the proofs are quite non-trivial and rather involved. I just would like to comment on something which maybe I have myself as a person working since long time in random matrix theory. You know, a considerable amount of papers on the so-called global regime of random matrix theory, that means normalized counting measures, central limit theorem, or something like that. They are written more or less in the same scheme. So people are saying, here is a matrix, this or that matrix. Here is my technique, either moments, free probability, or Stieltjes transform. And here is an equation or some usually a bit implicit algorithm to find the measure, limiting measure. And this is all. Like Columbus discovered the island, put the banner of Spanish king and go further. But here is a land you have to take care of this land, because as in random matrix theory and beyond, and in particular in telecommunications and in other applications, you have to know not a little thing about the measure itself. How does it behaves on the edges of the support? How much intervals is it support, et cetera, et cetera? And not to mention this modern, comparative modern question about outliers. And this is a very good part, and I think it is the charm of the thesis, of Dasha thesis, that she addressed herself precisely to that question, what is the structure of the support? And it requires a lot of techniques, complex analysis and real analysis, and even as we see a bit of numerical computation, and especially taking into account that the matrices, as was mentioned several times, are quite non-trivial. So it is quite delicate and hard work. And she succeeded to carry out this work, in my opinion, with a brilliance. So I have no doubts that the work is of the PhD level, even higher, of course. And the author, Dasha Teplova, charming girl, by the way, now with a bit of French flavor, not bad. She has to be awarded the PhD degree. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's Professor Pastor. Professor Lubaton. Would you like to say a few words?
Yes, of course. Yes, I would like to say that I was very happy to co-advise Daria's thesis, and this is a good occasion for me to thank Leonid for having suggested her to come in now to do her second year of master, which at the end allowed to hire her as a PhD student. And then during her work, so I saw that Daria has a number of skills. For example, she is able to learn very quickly new and complicated tools. She has also very good mathematical intuition. And I was very impressed by your ability to make simple, complicated problems. And to illustrate this, I wanted to mention that during our thesis, sometimes we did in parallel our own calculations to address some issues. And at the end, very often, the solutions she found were much simpler than mine. So I was very impressed by that. And finally, I'm very happy with the results of the thesis. And at the very beginning of the thesis, I could not imagine a better result. So Daria, congratulations for your work, and all the best for your future academic career that for sure will be quite fruitful.
Thanks
and congratulations again.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Professor Baton. Now, if not speaker, now it is my turn to present my opinion on the thesis and its presentation. I believe that it is a very good thesis with a number of serious and interesting results. The studies of the sample covariance matrices of time series that correspond to a finite number of observable parameters is a vast and active branch of statistics. On the other hand, a wide variety of modern applications deals with the case where the number of parameters is quite large, up to be of the same order of the number of observations. These unrelated problems of high dimensional statistics leads to random matrices of much more complicated structure and to new questions to be answered. The goal of this thesis was to study the asymptotic behavior of singular values of two classes of structured large number random matrices of high dimensional statistics. The principles of proof of obtained results are borrowed from random matrix theory. However, the structure of problem in question required a number of additional sophisticated tools and quite involved computations. This shows that the level of the work, both ideological and technical, is very high. Therefore, I have no doubt that its author, Daria Teplova, deserved to be awarded the PhD thesis.
Тепер.
Тепер ми маємо обговорити проєкт рішення щодо присудження ступеня доктора філософії. Проєкт рішення було розіслано заздалегідь. Чи є якісь запитання чи зауваження до проєкту? Якщо зауважень немає, то давайте затвердимо цей проєкт. Тут є зауваження, його, видимо, придеться коректувати.
Якщо є зауваження, можете просто надіслати мені.
Ми, по-перше, маємо голосувати.
У мене зауважень виступило у нас 10 чоловік. А тут
це був лише проєкт, звісно, після захисту я внесу.
Немає. Ну, хто за цей проєкт? Ви всі бачили його.
А як голосувати? Руками.
Руками.
Відкрити.
Завжди.
Пожалуйста.
Ну, тепер переходимо до процедури таємного голосування. Оскільки засідання проводиться з використанням засобів відеозв'язку в режимі реального часу, то ми маємо прийняти рішення про застосування програмного забезпечення для таємного голосування. Ну, всі ці слова хай розшифрує Женя Афанасьєв нам, що нам треба робити буде.
Так, проголосувати.
Для таємного голосування пропонується застосувати онлайн-сервіс Mentimeter. Хто за це? Щоб цей Mentimeter.
Давай.
Так. Всі за, так?
Ні, не
всі за. Значить, ми що, включаємо?
Можемо голосувати.
Зараз Женя пішле нам лінки, да?
Уже послав.
Так, добре, я вислав вам посилання для голосування, тепер можете переходити та голосувати.
Женя, ви мені куди послали?
Отже, мені надійшли усі 5 голосів, зараз я покажу результати. Так, зараз. Хвилинку. Ось ви бачите на своєму екрані результати голосування.
Хорошо.
Так.
Бачу.
Ну що? Як бачимо, всі голоси завжди. Так куди?
Там же написано «Жень».
Ну, потому что мы пропустили тут уже.
Все за. Решение принято.
Да, все за.
Заслуга.
Кто за то, чтобы затвердить Це результат голосування. Голосувати відкрито. Все. Отже, рішення нашої ради позитивне. Тепер я повинен оголосити текст рішення, тут написано, що я зачитувати буду наше рішення.
Ми вам пізнаємо.
Якщо за 5, проти 0, недійсних немає. На підставі результатів таємного голосування спеціалізована вчена рада присуджує Тепловій Дар'ї Павлівні ступінь доктора філософії в галузі знань 1.1 математика статистика за спеціальністю 1.1.1 математика. Ну що, давайте поздоровимо Дар'ю з присудженням.
Привітаємо.
Наукового ступеня доктора філософії. Привітаємо. Дар'я, поздравляємо вас.